Praise the Lord. Let's go to Psalm 6. Psalm 6. Help, Lord, I'm weak. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. All humans are weak. This is a fallen world filled with fallen people who have more weakness than they recognize or are willing to admit. Let's turn over to Psalm 78. Psalm 78 and verse 39. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. He remembers that we're but flesh. Hebrews 11. God remembers our weakness. Amen. 11 verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched and controlled the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Out of weakness were made strong. One weakness can destroy you. Your refusal to recognize it will guarantee your destruction. Recognizing your primary personal weakness can save you much crying, failure, and devastating results. Some have even allowed a small weakness to eat away at their good character. A small weakness can, if allowed, become overwhelming. And the canon in Satan's power to destroy us. Weakness is a very serious thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 3. You see, we should not be ashamed of our weakness, no matter what it is. Paul said, for I am determined, I'll start at verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency or superiority of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. There are many common weaknesses, and we should seek the Lord to find out the weakness that He wants to work with us on first. Common weaknesses include covetousness, lying, unbridled lust of all types, prayerlessness, even gossip and pride. None of us can afford to ignore our own main weakness. Why? Because it is alive in us and eating away at our success. It can be silent but deadly. If ignored, it will wreck our dreams and sabotage worthy relationships and even disgrace us. Let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And verse 105. Psalm 119 and verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. So, Lord, your word shows us where we are and the path that we should be walking on. Let's go to verse 160. Verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Thy word is true from the beginning. From the beginning. Let's see, let's go to Psalm. Let me see if I want to go there still. Let me go there first. I might have changed my mind. I can do that. Turn the page. No, I'm going to skip that one. Everyone has weaknesses. Everyone. Let's go to Romans 3. Romans is right behind Acts. Romans 3. Many decide to camouflage their weaknesses, but to deal with them through the scriptures with the guidance of the Holy Spirit is far better. It will produce God's results. Amen. Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our Heavenly Father knows all about our weaknesses already and loves us. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. He loves us, and He knows about our weaknesses already. For chapter 4 of Hebrews and verse 13. And I'm going to start at verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick. It's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God is a judge of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest or that is hidden in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There's nothing that we can hide from our Heavenly Father. Let's go to 2 Samuel. way back in the Old Testament, 2 Samuel. Thank you, Brother Bill. I did that. Thank you so much. Yeah. 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 3. And I'm going to begin reading. Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. And unto David were born sons. Okay, he had a lot of children. You know why. Same reason we have them now. In verse 6. And it came to pass, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. And Saul had a concubine. And then they had to discuss the concubine and everything that happened. And so you know how that is when you have a discrepancy. And in verse 9, so do God to Abner and more also, except as the Lord has sworn to David, even so I do to him, to translate the kingdom from the house of Saul, to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah, even from Dan to Beersheba. And he could not answer Abner a word again because he feared him. You see, one of Saul's sons had too much to say. That happens from time to time. And Abner sent messengers to David on his behalf, saying, whose is the land? Saying, make thy league with me, and behold, my hand shall be with thee to bring about all Israel unto thee. And he said, well, I will make a league with thee, but one thing I require of thee, that is, that thou shalt not see my face except thou first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face. And David sent messengers to Ibosheth, Saul's son, saying, deliver me my wife Michal, which I espouse to me for 100 foreskins of the Philistines. Oh my, what a price. And Ibosheth sent and took her from her husband. And so her husband went about hollering and screaming and crying and bellyaching because man took his wife back. Verse 17, and Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, ye sought David, for David in times past, to be king over you. Now then do it, for the Lord has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies. And Abner also spake in the ears of Benjamin, and Abner went also among to speak in the ears of David in Hebron. All that seemed good to Israel, and that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin. So Abner came to David to Hebron and 20 men with him. And David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said unto David, I will arise and go and will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desireth. And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop and brought a great spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away and he'd gone in peace. When Joab and all the host that was with him were come, they told Joab, saying, Abner the son of Ner came to the king, and thou hast sent him away in peace. Well, that caused a bit of a problem. That caused a problem. Then Joab came to the king and said, what have you done? Behold, Abner came unto you. Why is it that you've sent him away? And he's quite gone. Thou knowest Abner, the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thy going out and thy coming in, and all that thou doest. And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sarah. But David knew it not. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Ishiel his brother. And afterward, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner the son of Ner. Now you see, there had been a bit of a war, a bit of a fight. and somebody's brother got killed, and somebody was bitter because his brother got killed. So the person who rightfully killed his brother in that combat, he took vengeance on him, and he killed him. And it did not please David. And so let's go to verse 37. And they had this funeral for him. The man was a tested warrior. He was strong. He did the will of the Lord. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner the son of Ner. And the king said unto his servants, know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? And verse 39, and I am this day weak, though anointed king. And I am this day weak, though anointed king. And these men, the sons of Zeruiah, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. There will be times, saints, where we don't appear to have the strength to overcome the adversary that it appears to be too strong for us. But know that the Lord will step into the battle and he will take our place. He will fight the battle for us, and we will have the victory. Amen? Amen. This is one of those times. This is one of those times in the life of David where David was doing what was right before the Lord. He was becoming what God had called him to be. But other people's conflict interfered with that and caused a death that should not have happened. And it brought David great, great grief. Great grief and great agony. It left him weak. And that's what his testimony is here. Even though he's been anointed by God to be king, this situation that went on in the background caused him to be weak. But know that God will not leave us in weakness. Our weakness is often the entry point or open door for demonic spirits. Let's go to the Gospel of John. Everybody's got to talk to Jesus now about their own personal weakness. Chapter 13 and verse 26. And I'm going to begin at verse 23. It's talking about John. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. And Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. Then lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. All right, let's pay attention to verse 27. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. After the sop, Satan entered into him. Judas's very weakness was the open door for Satan to enter in. Amen? Amen. Let me see where else we're going. I think we're going to 2 Kings. I believe we are. Chapter 5. 2 Kings and chapter 5. This is the story of Naaman the Syrian and the great prophet of the Bible and his servant. 2 Kings chapter 5, and I'm going to begin at verse 15. Now, you've read the story of Naaman before, how he was a leper. And the maid in his house spoke to his wife and said, there's a great prophet that we have in our land, and if he would go see Elisha, why, he would be healed. So here we are in verse 15. And this is what the servant did, you see. Let me read you verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. And we all know Naaman had a little attitude attack. And when it was all over, he had to bow down and do what God said to do. Verse 15, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. The prophet of God said, I won't take anything from you. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules of burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. And he said to him, verse 19, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. Verse 20, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman, this Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he came down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, 1 talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. And Naaman said, be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him, and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments, and on that he gave him. Verse 25. So he left the man and he went back to see Elisha. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went nowhere. Yes, he did. He lied. And he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee? When the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee, is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. You see Gehazi's weakness, his covetousness, his greed, his desire for things that he should not have lusted after, opened the door for the devil to destroy him. That's what happened. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's see. We're going here, Lord. I think we are. Ezekiel chapter 16. All because of his weakness. All because of his weakness. Now, if you wondered if Jesus could fuss at people and tell them off, you ought to read this chapter one day, and you'll find out what he can say. Because he can tell you where to go, how to get there. And I'm going to begin at verse 21. This is the Lord your God speaking. Thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them. And in all thine abominations and thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, when thou wast naked and bare and was polluted in thy blood. And it came to pass after all thy wickedness, woe, woe unto thee, saith the Lord God, that thou hast also built unto thee an eminent place or a shrine, and has made a high place in every street. And thou hast built thy high place at every head of the way, and has made thy beauty to be despised, and has opened thy feet to every one that passed by, and multiplied thy whoredoms. In other words, Jerusalem and Israel was whoring around with every nation of the sun. They're doing everything all the heathen were doing. They were doing everything but honoring God the way he required. Thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbors, greater flesh, and thou hast increased thy whoredoms to provoke me to anger. Behold, therefore, I have stretched out my hand over thee and have diminished thine ordinary food and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee, the daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd way. Thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians because thou wast unsatiable. In other words, he's calling them prostitutes, just straight out street whores. Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet couldst not be satisfied. My goodness. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan unto Chaldea, and yet thou wast not satisfied herewith. Verse 30. How weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God. How weak is thy heart, saith the Lord God, seeing thou doest all these things, and the work of an imperious, whorish woman, a brazen, whorish woman. That's what he said to his people. Because they went from here to there to there to there.
Spiritual whores.
Yep. And it is so. Let us not be in that number, church. Amen?
Amen.
Let us not be in that number. You see, God speaks to groups of people and nations, and he uncovers their wickedness and their weakness. The Lord will make every effort to reveal your weakness to you before it destroys you. Let's go to Genesis 4. Every effort God will make, every effort he'll make to show you what your weakness is, to get you to come to him. Every effort. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1, and Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And here is the Lord. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. You see the open door for the sin? And unto thee shall be his desire, and he shall rule over him, and thou shalt rule over him. You see, if you do right, you get to close the open door. But if you do wrong, you leave it open, and the devil comes in to destroy. That's what happens. Luke 22. We can't afford to have open doors to the devil. And our weakness can't be a revolving door to him. Luke 22 and verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Satan hath desired to have you and sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Remember, we repented of prayerlessness, where our weaknesses are concerned this morning. And that's what happened here. Jesus was the intercessor. We talked about intercession last week. Jesus was the intercessor that prayed here for Simon Peter, that his faith did not completely fail him, that he didn't go totally into apostasy. Many times we need this and don't know it. Someone will be assigned by Satan and his demons to feed and strengthen our weakness. Let's go to Genesis 16. Genesis 16. Genesis 16. And I'm starting at verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaiden, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Now this was not what God promised. God promised that Sarah was going to have a child. He did not say it was going to be a surrogate. But somebody had a bright idea. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. You see, the Lord used Sarah this time to deal with Abram's weakness. Abram wanted children. He wanted children more than anything. He wanted an heir. Just because he wanted it didn't mean it had to be used as a weakness against him. But Sarah stepped in with her bright idea that was from the culture of that time. It wasn't God's ordained plan. It was from the culture of that time. And so she gave strength to his weakness. Now, we're not supposed to be doing that, saints. We're not supposed to be helping the devil out. We're supposed to oppose him. And we're going to Judges chapter 16. And we're only going to do 2 verses here. And we already know this story. This is the story of Samson and Delilah. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek. And her name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came upon her and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. So she became the agent of the devil to defeat Samson. And I did that again. Your weakness will pursue, take hold of, and seize, and take captive any friendship that permits it, feeds it, or enjoys it. Thank you. A contentious spirit in one person can infiltrate an entire church through those who allow it to exist unrebuked, unchecked, and uncorrected. Let's see the weakness that's in Numbers chapter 16. And I'm going to, since we're familiar with this story, I'm going to go through it pretty fast. I'm not going to take all day with it. Numbers chapter 1, now Korah and Abiram and Dathan and all of them rose up against Moses. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, I'm in verse 3, take too much upon you. Seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them, wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even unto whom he hath chosen, he will cause to come near unto him. And so they went through this entire process. And it seems that at the end of it, it didn't turn out too well for some that are here, you see. And we're going to go over until verse 27. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah and Dathan and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up, with all that appertaineth unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground split apart, clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit. Hell opened its mouth, and they went down live, them and all their possessions, and all that were with them. And the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. You see, when you have certain spirits in the congregation that go about doing things in the background, there cometh a judgment from the Lord, and that judgment is always certain. Always certain. Your weakness has an agenda and a plan to take over your life and to sabotage it. Let's go to Matthew 26, 41. Matthew 26 and verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. There's your open door. The spirit indeed is willing. Your spirit's willing to obey God, but your flesh is weak. Let's go to Mark chapter 14, verses 37. Mark 14, 37. All right. And he cometh and findeth, speaking of Jesus, and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Amen? Amen. James 1. James chapter 1. And verse 15. James, I'm going to back up. I'm going to start at verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Amen? Amen. All right, your weakness will bond you with the wrong people. We're going to go to Galatians 2. Since we're on this side, we'll just go to Galatians 2. Galatians chapter 2. And verse 1. Paul went up after 14 years to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with him. And as the story went, I'll start at verse 4. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. You see, the Judaizers had shown up to get them out of the gospel and to get them back into the spirit of religion. So that's what's happening here. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. So Peter was with the old church, or the new church that came out of Judaism. And Paul and Barnabas were sent to the Gentiles. And when James and Peter and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, and the same which we always do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. Now, why was he to be blamed? For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision, the fear of man. It's an open door to the devil. It's his weakness, but it's an open door to the devil. Amen? Your weakness will separate you from the right people. Let's go to 2 Timothy 4 and 10. Second Timothy 4 and verse 10. And it reads, "For Demas hath forsaken me," Paul is saying. Why? Because he loved this present world. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. So you see, your weakness can lead you away from the right people and separate you from them, and it can bond you to the wrong people. Your weakness cannot be overcome with human philosophy, explanations, excuses, or self-will power. It will not work. You cannot overcome your weakness by saying, well, my mom had it and my grandmama had it. That won't get it. We've been given the power of God. We've seen his power in demonstration. We've experienced deliverance. We know that the word of God, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the power of God is what gets us out of our messes. Amen? And we can't excuse ourselves out of it. Acts 1 and 8. So whatever your personal weakness is that the Lord points out to you that he's ready to deal with, remember, I told you this fast was to go in your crannies and nooks and cavities that you hide things in, and Jesus is going to clean it out. And he's still doing it. And in Acts 1, 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Has the Holy Ghost come upon you? All right. So you have power, right? So we're supposed to act like it. Let's go to Acts 2, 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we know how to call on the name of the Lord to be delivered, right? Then we ought to be. So let's go to Acts 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So we know we must call on the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. So we can't sit here cradled in our weakness and say, I can't do any better, right? Because God will not accept that. He's the spirit of truth. Your weakness does not necessarily require a personal confession to everybody, but most definitely a true recognition and acknowledgement of it in the presence of the Lord. Psalm 34. Psalm 34. God wants us to bring our weaknesses to him. He's waiting to do something about it. And when we stop running from it, he'll be happy to set us free. Amen? Because if we don't, the devil will be there to see to it that we perish. Psalm 34, beginning at verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such that be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Verse 22, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate or made ashamed. James chapter 5 and verse 16. James chapter 5 and verse 16. Amen. God is ready to move in our lives. And we need to be ready to go with them. James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So there's no reason for us to just sit here in our little problems and say, I can't do any better. We just can't do that, saints. God will permit you to enjoy many victories even while your weakness is operating within you. God is long-suffering and merciful. He provides opportunity after opportunity to seek him for deliverance. Matthew chapter 23. Opportunity after opportunity. He is a merciful God. And in verse 37 of Matthew 23, verse 37, he talks to Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus does, and he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. You see, the Lord was reaching out to them over and over and over again with every prophet that he sent, and they stoned them and they killed them and they did worse to some. Some they dropped into dungeons and left them. They did everything that they could, but God kept reaching out to them. And he will keep reaching out to us as well. Let's go to verse 29. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. I'm still in Matthew 23. I flipped over to verse 29. You caught me? All right. And wherefore ye shall be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which kill the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. You see, God kept going after them and going after them. He kept sending them people. He sent them a word. He sent them this. He sent them that. Then he punished them and he sent them famine. He kept trying to reach them and saying, this is your weakness. Come to me and deal with it. But they wouldn't. And sometimes we behave that way. Those whom you love are waiting for you to overcome and triumph over your weakness. Your friends and family, even your co-workers, are in uneasiness, fear, and worry that your weakness may destroy you and them. But when you become victorious, their hearts will rejoice and it will be a strengthening to them. It will be a strengthening to them when you overcome your weakness. You see, they're waiting for you. They're pulling for you. They're believing for you. But you have to decide, okay, Lord, I'm finally going to deal with this. I'm not going to keep running from it. You making it plain to me, okay, I'm going to deal with it. Your weakness can only be overcome by the word of God. Let's go to Revelation. Everybody knows what the book of Revelation is. Chapter 12, Revelation chapter 12. We know this scripture. And verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. and they love not their lives unto the death. So what do you mean, love not my life unto the death? You know, the same life you've been living, that one. Some of that's got to die for you to walk in victory. And a death has got to occur. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know that's the truth. Yes. Amen, it's the truth. Yes. It is the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Matthew 4. I think we're going there. Yeah. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted, did you know he fasted first? And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights and afterward and hungered, he hungered after the fast. And when the tempter came, here comes the tempter after the fast, came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And Jesus answered unto him, with the word, it is written. There you have it. Jesus said, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, the devil wasn't finished. The devil taketh him up into a holy city, and he went through that again. And Jesus said unto him in verse 7, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee. Are you kidding? They already belong to Jesus. He created them. If thou wilt fall down and worship me. Are you kidding? Jesus watched him as lightning fall from heaven. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him. Now, here we are. I prayed and I fasted and I bound the devil, and he's still here. Well, let's see. Jesus went through this, and then through this, and then he told the devil off again. Then he left. So, okay, the first time you tell the devil to leave and he don't leave, you keep going. You just keep doing it. You don't back off and say, well, I told him one time, devil, you have to leave. No. You just keep doing it. You keep doing it. And you keep doing it. And you keep doing it. He's got to leave. But he's going to test you to see if you really mean this. Or you just going to go, devil, now you know. They taught me in church, you have to go. That won't work. That just won't work, saints. You got to have some oomph to this thing. Okay? You got to actually be standing in faith. And he's going to test you to see if you really believe the word. He's not going to back off. You stand there one time. I prayed and I told the devil to leave. Well, keep telling him. He'll leave. He has to leave. The Bible says so. Overcoming your weakness will bring an incredible reward for eternity. We're back in Revelation and we're in chapter 3. Everybody's got a weakness. There's nobody in here that doesn't have one. So you can't go home to your spouse and say, see, I told you so. That won't work either. Everybody's got a weakness. Everybody's got one or two or three. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. You mean my works aren't perfect and complete before God? You're kidding. You gotta be kidding. You're kidding me, Jesus. No. Then he tells him what to do about it. Verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, Jesus is saying. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and has kept my word and has not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. You see, there's a reward for doing it right. There's a reward for doing it right. To him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. There. Now let's go to the Laodicean church. This is so exciting. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I will puke you out. That's what he's saying. You are so double-minded. You vacillate so much. You go from one extreme to the other. You make me sick to my stomach, and I'm going to puke you out. Because, why? Because thou sayest, I am rich, I'm increased with good. Everything that Amazon has, I got one. And have need of nothing. I even have a new Tesla. I got it all. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And naked. Now, who wants to see that? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, because nobody really wants to see that anyway. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Hurry it up. I'm waiting on you to repent. Let's get on with this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, can you hear him? And open the door, and I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. Jesus did this. He overcame. And am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Does Satan constantly use your weakness to dilute your testimony and break your focus and open the door for oppression and depression? You may hide it for a season, but time will expose all things. Mark chapter 4 and verse 22. Mark 4 and verse 22. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. You're not going to be able to hide it. Luke chapter 8, verse 17. Luke 8 and verse 17. My. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Amen?
Amen.
So Jesus is expecting us to acknowledge that there is none that doeth good, no, not one, from Romans 3:12. And from Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody. You can't poke fingers at folks because everybody's in this boat. So God wants us to address our weakness openly before him. He wants us to become an enemy to our weakness. He wants us to trust the Holy Spirit to empower us. And he says confession shows that we trust him. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Yes, we all have to meet around the throne of God. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so we better do this so we can make sure we all show up. Chapter 12 and verse 9. And I'm going to start at verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm starting at verse 8. For this thing, this weakness that I have, I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Why? For my strength is made perfect in weakness. His strength will come through where we've been weak. Now, we're going to trust him and believe him for that. I am. Please join me. Amen. Amen. We all have weaknesses. There is nobody that doesn't. Stand for the benediction. I have surprises. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen, Jesus. You've told us we're all weak. You've told us we all need to come bring this to you. You're ready to heal us and deliver us and set us free. And so you expect us to get to work. Amen, sir. Amen. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and forever. And let the church say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good, saint.